The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Grab your bracket. Get your pen. Get your paper. Or maybe a pencil. It might be a little erasing. Bear, have you done, do you do permanent marker? How many brackets so far?
Zero brackets so far because my week has been dealing with a move right now. But yeah, but I'm not a permanent marker. I'm a pencil, and then I'll think it through, and then I'll go into. But I'm not one of these guys who does like seven different versions of my bracket. I got one bracket, and that's it.
I do one, but it's a process. And what I do is I fill one out as soon as the bracket comes out because I like having all the recency bias and hearing it all. Like, obviously, everybody has Illinois, you know, and I made it a point just to have, you know, fill that out. And I know eventually I'm not going to have Illinois winning the title. I'm not going to have them. Now, on the other side, Gonzaga, who I believe at this time of taping Wednesday is still the leader around 36% of the brackets. I think we're all close to, I know we were over 7 million last night on SportsCenter with Van Pelt when we went to the live update of brackets being filled out. But Gonzaga, the road, that region, the West, whatever you want to call it, obviously, when you look at it, it does look like they have, the, I don't want to say the easiest road, but the, let's say the best path to the Final Four. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think easier is probably the best way to be because you look at the path in front of them and you've got a 2 seed, a 3 seed, and a 4 seed who they have already beaten this year. You've got a 5 seed in Creighton who I don't think really is very good. And you also have the 2 teams, Virginia and Kansas, that are kind of sidelined by COVID right now. So it all really does appear to line up for Gonzaga. And I think it shows in their price, too. What are they, like minus 240 or something like that just to get to the Final Four? So I think of all the 1 seeds, yeah, I think they do have an easier road when you compare it to what the other 1 seeds might have.
The price aside, are they your best bet to go to the Final Four out of the 1 seeds?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they are. And I mean, I think there could be a scenario where maybe they're the only 1 seed to reach the Final Four.
All right.
I could see myself coming up with the bracket where Gonzaga is the only 1 seed and then elsewhere I might be a little bit deeper.
I want to – I was reading some stuff. I think I read 6 years since the number one overall seed has gone to the Final Four, 8 years since they won the title. That's pretty interesting to me, knowing what's at stake, knowing who it is, knowing they have the Gonzaga name, knowing what they've done in years previous in the tournament. But I think this is obviously his best team. I think it starts with Suggs. I absolutely love him. I actually like him better than Cunningham at the next level. I know I'm in the minority of that. But you see, you mentioned that the Zags are, was it minus 230 to win the region?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're obviously the biggest favorite of the 1 seeds to go to the Final Four. When you look at that other, the rest of that bracket, you mentioned all the outliers, and I want to start with those. Let's go the 3, 4, and 5 seeds, okay? Kansas, Virginia, and Creighton. They all have some issues to me. You know, Creighton, I don't know what's going on in that locker room. I don't like what I saw when they got McDermott back and played in the Big East tournament. I thought they were really fortunate to beat UConn, and then they got absolutely their doors blown off by Georgetown, who took them out of everything they wanted to do. I don't want anything to do with Creighton. Virginia and Kansas, I put in the same boat. I don't know who's practicing. I don't know how these teams are practicing. I know the teams that they're playing are full go practicing. So I don't want anything to do with the 3, 4 and the 5 in there. You're in agreement with those.
I am. The one interesting thing that I would talk about with Kansas and Virginia, and that's in reaction to the Cornette tweet about talking to coaches and how they're worried about players just being so disinterested and and being stuck in their hotel room and not getting out and worried about, are they just going to like be okay if they lose? And I wonder if this situation might, at least in the short term, for one game, work out pretty good for Virginia and Kansas, in that they're not stuck in there right now. They're still, like, Virginia's still in Charlottesville, and at least they're in their own comfortable surroundings as opposed to Indianapolis quarantined in a hotel room. And that might work out for Virginia and Kansas, at least psychologically, where they're just kind of going in basically day of or night right before, yeah, and playing a game. But it's interesting because Ohio is a team that I want to like. Ohio, I want to advance them. I want to take them plus the points. They've been a different team since Preston's come back, but the number now, it's got driven down so far. So we'll see. Virginia might be the team that I wind up advancing through, even though every bone in my body wants to put Ohio through.
Yeah, I think it came out at 10. It's already down to 7, might be even lower some places. But here's what I do in my bracket. When I feel that confident in a team advancing multiple rounds, I'll just pick the upsets. So I have Ohio and I have UCSB winning in my bracket. The 8-9 I wanted to touch on, because Oklahoma is a team that I was in love with at the beginning of the year. On February 13th, they were number 12 and beat West Virginia at West Virginia in one of the games of the year. An incredible game. Gets them in the top 10. Then they have a game canceled, I believe, and they go on to win two games the rest of the way. And those two games were both against Iowa State, and we know how bad they were this year. But Oklahoma is it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I was all in on this team about a month ago, and now they had Reeves out. They beat Alabama without Reeves. I want to say they beat Texas without Reeves. Then they lost those two tough games to Oklahoma State. But I think Oklahoma beats Missouri, and I wouldn't be shocked if they could give Gonzaga a game. So it's not an automatic, but I did want to just mention Oklahoma because obviously Krueger's had success in the tournament. But they're hard to make sense of. And I know, there's so much unknown with the COVID and the breaks and stuff. Oklahoma does have the goods to me to win that game against Missouri.
You see, I actually agree with your thought process there. Is I think Gonzaga, the danger for Gonzaga, I think, is that second round game against the Oklahoma Missouri winner. I think if they get past that game, I think they're going to go to the Final Four. But I think that the winner of that game has enough talent. I mean, Missouri is a good team. Missouri has beaten Alabama this year. Missouri has beaten Illinois this year. Missouri has played Arkansas brutally, brutally close and beaten them as well. So like they beaten Liberty, they beaten Oregon, like Missouri beat Wichita State. They have a ton of wins over tournament teams. And I think with Pinson and Smith and Tillman, they got guys who can score. And I lean towards Missouri. This might be a situation where maybe you play Gonzaga, you lay the 230 or whatever it is to get to the Final Four. And then maybe you play a little Missouri back or a little Oklahoma back on the money line in the second round, just in case. But I do agree. I think that game, the second round game, could be very tough. I think a lot of these one seeds potentially could have very interesting second round games.
No doubt. I agree with you there, and we'll get to those. But we're going through the West here. As you move down the bracket, you have Wichita Drake for the play-in game. I don't think Wichita should have made the tournament. I do think Drake is really interesting if they get Shanquan Hemphill back, who's probably their best overall player. Drake is their second time in a tournament since 71. I love their point guard, Yusefu. Gutty kid, does everything you want. Drake is a talented team. We know how far they went this season undefeated, but, you know, playing in the Missouri Valley, they didn't, you know, move up the rankings as a Power 5 team would. I like Drake moving on in that game. I also, since I like the 2 seed to move on, I put Drake in the Sweet 16.
I'm not opposed to that. I actually think USC might be a little bit of a forgotten team in terms of getting to the Sweet 16. I think that might be a bet I would be interested in making. I still think he's talented. Enfield has done really well in the tournament. I think his teams are what, 7 or 8-0.
He's 7-0 in the tournament all time against the spread. Now a lot of that goes back to Gulf Coast, but I believe he's had 2 appearances with USC in the tournament, and they're both 1-point losses. So he obviously covered that number, them being an underdog.
And I think Oregon as well. I know the Pac-12 has been down this year and hasn't exactly been a great conference, but I think the Ducks at +350 to reach the Sweet 16, I think getting that bad game out of the way against Oregon State in the Pac-12 tournament, having a little bit of time off. Altman is still a really, really good tournament coach. I mean, I think what they've gotten out of the first round pretty much every single time.
They've gone this second weekend the last 3 trips. They lost to Virginia, and then they have obviously the Final Four and then an Elite Eight loss. I do want to touch on Oregon because of Altman. You mentioned them, 18-9 against the spread career in the tournament. On Daily Wager, Oregon was one of my picks when I had that streak going, and I had McKenzie look it up. And at that point, that was in, I want to say, late February. He was all-time in it. I forgot how many years he's been at Oregon. But against the spread in Pac-12 conference games, whether it was a tournament or regular season, he was 80-40 against the spread. That's incredible to me. So when I look at Oregon and VCU, and I usually like the 10s over the 7s. We'll get to the other ones. VCU is another team that I thought was questionable to make the tournament. I didn't like what I saw. I know their best player was in foul trouble in that Atlantic 10 title game. But Oregon is a team. I know it's a high number for a 7-10 too, but I have to trust Altman there. And then on the bottom is Iowa. I think they got to be ecstatic that they're out of Big Ten play. Knowing how tough that conference is, this is not your typical Iowa, Wisconsin team. This team is an over team. They're really skilled offensively. I think being in the tournament with different referees is going to help them score. I like Iowa to advance to the Elite Eight. I just love what I see from them offensively. And I think they have, veteran guys at the right positions.
A bigger macro discussion, just kind of jumping off a little bit with Iowa. I look at these 2 seeds, and I know they recently the 2 seeds have been insanely good in the tournament. I actually have a note here, I think, somewhere about the since Michigan State lost to Middle Tennessee, 2 seeds are 23-1. Actually, the last 6 years, 23-1. The 2 seeds are in the second round. Just 3 of the 24 have been decided by single digits. So these 2-15 games have been blowouts for the most part. But I look at the 2 seeds this year, and I see teams that don't have a lot of tournament experience, a lot of basically battle tested, kind of been here before. Mm-hmm. You got Alabama, which has had like no tournament success lately. You've got Iowa, which has had no tournament success lately. You've got Ohio State, which, a traditional program, but they haven't been to the 16 in a while. You got Houston, which has had, like, no tournament success lately. Yeah, they went to the 16 in the last tournament. But other than that, they haven't been a deep run. I wonder if that might be a situation where you potentially look in the second round this year and you might get a couple of those 7-10 winners upsetting some 2 seeds. So we'll see, but I think the 2s look a lot weaker to me than say the 3 seeds this year.
Okay. All right. If there's a favorite pick ATS in the first round of this region, what would, do you have something circled
in the West? The two that I have written out here, I got UCSB plus the 7.5 is one that I like, and I might even take them. I mean, the thing is, too, they're big. Don't see a Big West team or a mid-major team like that, that with that much size. Like Utah State too, with the Quaid kid, he's going to be a problem for Texas Tech. But UCSB, I think they can certainly pull the upset, and I do like Missouri against Oklahoma as well. Those are the 2 games ATS that I had seen that I do like.
UCSB starts 4 transfers, three or power five, I believe, a kid from Oregon State, DePaul, and Oregon. I would go Drake. I like Drake against Wichita. And then I think they could advance against Kansas. So I would look at Drake as a team against the spread in that region. But you do have Gonzaga coming out of there, correct?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go clockwise. Is that right? Let's go over to the south with Baylor. Baylor is interesting to me because I think they, round for round, I feel like they have the toughest test. Carolina is not the Carolina from the beginning of the year. Wisconsin is another team I think that's going to be really happy that I get out of Big Ten play. That's an interesting match. I have Wisconsin right now winning that game. I don't love it. I just feel like there's a trust factor with the veterans they have at the guard position against the inexperience of Carolina's guards, although Carolina's front court has been phenomenal. And then when you look down, Purdue's a team I like. I see Purdue playing Baylor in the Sweet 16. Villanova, I asked this question to Scott, and I wanted to ask you, if you could pick a five seed to make a run to the Sweet 16, who's your best bet? You got Villanova, Winthrop. We mentioned Creighton, UCSB, Colorado, Georgetown, and Tennessee, Oregon State. It's not pretty. I know.
No, it's not. No, it's gosh. I guess I would say Tennessee.
Okay.
And Tennessee is a team that I think has a really good chance of losing to Oregon State in its first round game, but. And I say that just because I have a hard time seeing Villanova beat Purdue with the injuries that they have. Creighton, I think, you very easily could lose to UCSB. Colorado, Georgetown. Colorado. I don't think would get past Florida State. But I do think Tennessee, just because of the way they do play defense, I think that they can beat beat Oregon State, and then in the second round, they could have success. Either against Oklahoma State and shutting down Cunningham, or against a Liberty team that also doesn't play at a very quick pace. So my guess, I'd say, would be Tennessee, even though I like the Beavers in that game.
Yeah, it's a brutal question. I just look at Villanova, and obviously there's a trust factor with Jay Wright. If Georgetown doesn't go 23 for 23 from the line in that quarterfinal game against Villanova, Villanova advances. And who knows, maybe they win the Big East tournament and this whole narrative about them changes. But there's Purdue right there. And that's, it just goes to the fact too, I like every four seed more than the five seed in each bracket. But let's keep going down here. I think we're set up for an absolute monster matchup in the second round game with Texas Tech and Arkansas. I know people are starting to like Utah State. I don't like what I saw from the Mountain West, especially down the stretch. It felt like you had all these teams on the bubble, and they're quality teams. I don't know if they're successful teams for the NCAA tournament, and it just felt like they all just kept losing. Boise State, they went down the tubes. Colorado State lost games they shouldn't have. And Utah State made it to the Mountain West final and lost to San Diego State. I can't go against Chris Beard. The guys won eight games in two runs with Texas Tech in the NCAA tournament. So that's 6-11, 3-14. Obviously, you have Colgate, everybody's favorite net team there with the 14. Do you like Utah State against Texas Tech?
I do. I like Utah. I picked them as the underdog I have advancing on Daily Wager the other day.
Okay.
I think Texas Tech is kind of living off a couple of years ago. I don't think this team is as good as that other one.
No, it's not.
I think they have trouble scoring it. And I think Texas Tech – against top 50 teams this year, I think they're like 5-15 or so, or something like that. Like, they do not have a ton of quality wins. I know they do have a couple wins over Texas, but other than that, this is a team that I think most of their wins came against the bottom half of the Big 12. And I like Utah State here in this game, plus the points, and I'll even play Utah State on the money line as well. I think they're about plus 180 or so on the money line. So I do like Utah State, and I like them on the money line. And also, I'm glad you referenced it before, the North Carolina-Wisconsin game. I actually think Baylor is really hoping but North Carolina wins that game.
Agree.
Because North Carolina plays very little defense. If Wisconsin wins that game, the pace of that game is not going to be kind to Baylor. I like Wisconsin in that game against North Carolina. I know Roy's never lost in the first round, and Tar Heels have won 17 straight in the first round. But I think you're right. I think the way Wisconsin facing a team that's not going to like the pace of play, they're not going to like the defense that they're going to get thrown out there from Wisconsin. Look, I mean, I know Wisconsin hasn't really won a bunch of games lately, but again, these have all been close losses against Big Ten teams that are familiar with them. But I'm with you. Yeah, North Carolina, Wisconsin, rather, is another play in this region that I do like.
That's the thing you look at. I know Scott's mentioned it with Maryland, with people, you know, taking a shot at their losses and double-digit losses. But those losses are teams that are on the 1-2 line in this tournament, like Michigan, Illinois, and Maryland actually beat Illinois. But it's this tournament is going to come down to teams that have played close games all year long, and I think of the Big 12 especially. You mentioned Texas Tech. I think of Oklahoma State. Are they going to keep winning those close games? Are they going to continue to lose them? Or can they reverse the trend and pull them out? So that's the tournament in a nutshell to me. As you go down, Virginia Tech, Florida, do you like a side there?
No, that is like the ultimate stay away game for me. I mean, Virginia Tech's played, what, 3 games in a month? Florida, all they do is seems to be playing these close games. Like that's a total coin flip game, and I have no interest in being involved in that game as well. But yeah, Utah State, I like Wisconsin. Those are the 2 games, and I might even take a little shot with. I saw DraftKings, by the way, like Purdue was like plus money to get to the Sweet 16, which I thought was a little surprising. It was only plus 105.
I was
surprised that they weren't. I mean, you look, North Texas is kind of one of those, like, I don't know if you caught any of that game on Saturday night, by the way.
Oh, I did.
That was not pretty on the eyes in the second half. There never should have been that close. But North Texas isn't a like a garbage team. Like they could kind of ugly it up with Purdue and maybe hang around. But I don't know. I got Purdue to the 16 there. And I like Utah State so much. I saw that on DraftKings as well. They were plus 600 to reach the Sweet 16. Ooh, so that
right.
might be. But I'm kind of against Baylor. You outlined that you thought their road kind of was the toughest. You can get Ohio State at plus 400 to win this region.
Mm-hmm.
Get Purdue at plus 1150 to win this region. I kind of might take a 2-pronged approach here with both of those Big Ten teams to win this region. Because I agree. I think especially if Wisconsin wins that first round game, I think there's a chance that the Badgers could pull the upset there and get to the 16.
I like Ohio State's road to the Elite Eight more than any other 2 seed for sure.
Yes.
I know, Travis, jump in here. What would their record be if they played 36-minute games?
Probably undefeated. I mean, jokes aside, the Purdue game that they lost, they blew.
Yep.
They've had multiple. And then 3 of the 4 tournament games in the Big Ten – they blew their leads at the end. They can't finish games. I don't understand what it is.
I go back to the Purdue game you're talking about earlier in the year in Columbus. I thought that was just more of Purdue really executing and making shots at the end. That in the Big Ten tournament, I love Liddell, but man, he made some brutal physical mistakes, dribbling the ball out of bounds 2 straight games. And I don't know. I just love what I love the coach. I love their draw. I love the roster. And Dwayne Washington Jr. has been incredible.
He's
coming on late in this year.
He's turned the corner to be a playmaker. He's always good for one heat check. Just prepare yourself.
No, I know. Oral Roberts does have the leading scorer in the country. That Summit League tournament was wild. Watched a bunch of that. I thought South Dakota State was the best team, and Oral gave it to him. They beat him at the buzzer in the semis. That could be – I like that over in that game. I know it's kind of high, but I think Ohio State will score at will, and I think Oral Roberts will score enough. But I do like Ohio State. I do like Baylor to come out, and I'm a little biased towards Baylor Bear. Like I said Baylor Bears right there. I thought early on – in the year, right on the – I actually had a – I bet them against Gonzaga, and the game got canceled. I just liked their mentality. I've brought it up a bunch this week. When they come out of the COVID break, they're down 17 to a terrible Iowa State team, but they didn't panic. They didn't jack threes up. They really concentrated on getting the ball to the basket and ones, and they could lock you down defensively. And they have versatility all over the place. So I do have Baylor coming out there. We touched on Iowa. Is there if you're going to take a 15 seed to cover Oral Roberts or Grand Canyon, do you like either of those?
Probably Oral Roberts, just because they can score. And I know they give up a ton of points, but that might be a situation where backdoor might be wide open in that situation. But yeah, I can see Houston putting up a big number on Cleveland State. Of all the 15, I think Iona is going to be a trendy 15 just because of the Patino factor. Mm-hmm. And Grand Canyon will get bet just because Iowa gives it. I mean, Grand Canyon would be the second 15 that I would think just because Iowa plays no defense and you got the 7-footers. And I think that could be a bit of a not close game, but you're talking relative when you're talking 215. But Oral Roberts plus the points would be the – if you're asking me which 15 would I take on the – against the number, like Oral Roberts would be the one.
Okay. Grand Canyon, I know they didn't play in a great conference. They, them and Drake have the best ATS records coming into the tournament, both at about 78%, which is pretty eye-opening. Obviously, everything changes when you get into the big dance. So you would take a shot with Purdue and Ohio State coming out of there. I don't hate yes. that. I like Purdue, but like I said, I'm biased towards Baylor. Anything else on the South region? Is there a bet you have?
Are we Utah State plus the five?
Okay, that's right.
Are we overlooking Arkansas? We haven't mentioned their name once when talking about the South. Like just because they kind of came out of nowhere this year, and they have some transfers. Are we overlooking them? I mean, Musselman's a great tournament coach.
Yep, they're my best bet as a favorite. In the first round of the whole tournament, I think that's a definite double digit win for them against Colgate. We mentioned them with the net love, but they played five teams this year, Colgate, and that's nothing against them. But I really, you mentioned Musselman. I think they have all the things to make a convincing win in the first round. I think the world of Chris Beard as a head coach. I really do. And that's a fantastic, it might be the best second round game possible. I know you have Utah State winning. If Utah State beats Texas Tech, I like Arkansas even more. I said the Mountain West, and we're going to get to the lower part too, where their champion is. And I don't like them to win either, but the SEC is fascinating to me. You mentioned Arkansas because I think there's teams that the seeds, they didn't do well with that. Like, I don't think Tennessee should be a 5. I don't think Florida should be a 7. Arkansas, I thought, got the benefit.
You think Florida and Tennessee should be seeded better or worse?
Worse.
Okay.
Worse. Everybody took it, I believe Florida has a win over West Virginia, and then LSU has a couple bad losses. So that's why LSU's an 8. Like, I saw all the SEC people going back and forth. But the SEC teams, the seeding to me is really curious there. I like Virginia Tech. I like Mike Young as a coach. I totally forgot. Virginia Tech went to the Sweet 16 2 years ago and lost to Zion and Duke in an incredible game.
Unbelievable game.
And Mike Young's the guy from Wofford who took Kentucky to the brink 2 years ago. I would lean Virginia Tech there. But I still like Ohio State to come out of the bottom of that bracket. And my best bet in that region will be Arkansas minus the points against Colgate. So
you mentioned the SEC and the seeding. It brought up a funny comment on Daily Wager the other night when we had to give it like your most ridiculous prediction that will like never happen. Like just complete, like, almost like as a throwaway line, just kind of give me like your most ridiculous prediction for the tournament. And mine was that no SEC teams would make the Sweet 16. And so you kind of hit on it. And the only reason I brought that up on this pod was because you kind of alluded to it with the seeds and how some of those matchups didn't really go the way. And you look at it, you got Oklahoma, Missouri, you got an 8-9 against Gonzaga. You've got another 8-9 with LSU. You've got Tennessee, who play Oklahoma State, and we know Brooke Barnes struggles against higher seeds. Like there are some potential Alabama, a 2-seed with very little NCAA tournament experience. I think you can make at least an argument as to why I kind of just threw that, had that as my like throwaway prediction, but we'll see. I think obviously there will be one or two that winds up making it through, but I would be curious. I haven't seen it yet. What the number is on over under of SEC teams.
I haven't seen that yet. Yeah. You're right. Because the others, go ahead.
I would think under might be a way to go there. I would think when they get six teams in, so it's probably three. I would think they probably put it at. So
okay.
I would consider looking at the under if it is indeed three.
The ACC is another one on that topic too. We could get into more that I'm interested in that number because of team. Or we can move to the Midwest. You good with the South?
Yes.
Okay. Illinois. Everybody's favorite to me. I'm actually surprised. I thought more people would have them on the ESPN.com winning the title just because I feel like the recency bias of everyone watching, waiting for the bracket to come out and watching that team cut the nets down. They're playing incredible. They have everything.
I hate it because I got him at like 18-1. It feels like I'm going to be using that as toilet paper in my new bathroom. So
wow.
I hope I'm wrong.
And then this is a case where I know, a lot of the analytic guys are mad. Loyola should have been a lower seed. And when I say lower, I mean number.
Higher seed, basically. Higher seed. High seeds are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Got it.
Lower seeds are 14, 15, 16.
I picked Georgia Tech in that game just because I love Alvarado. I think, and I know they got, Pastor said somebody in their camp has COVID. It could be Alvarado for all we know. It could be Pastor. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I just love what Alvarado brings to the table. He is just an ultimate game changer because he does everything: pressure on the ball, getting the ball to open guys, scoring the ball when they need a basket. He's a really, really, might be one of the most fun players in the tournament. To me, he is in the tournament. Tennessee, Oregon State, or I should say, Tennessee, Oregon State, and then Oklahoma State, Liberty. I wanted to bring this up to you because our friend, the BPI, has Liberty with a better percentage chance to win than any 12 seed, which I thought was eye-opening because and we know how good BPI's picked the national champion, what, two of the last 3 years, I think?
I think that's correct.
I think it's something like that. So what I did was we talked about Tennessee, how I don't like them. I just picked Oregon State to win that game. Yep. And because I have Oklahoma State going to the Final Four. And I hate being against the BPI knowing that they got a lot more data points than I do. And they have a lot more to go off of. I just look at, the combination of everyone loving Illinois and a team that's capable as Oklahoma State. And to me, they showed it all in the last couple of weeks. They beat West Virginia at West Virginia without Cade Cunningham, came back a couple of days later and beat them with them. I think it's a team that's really found their roles. They know that Cade's the guy. And I think their coach Boynton's done a great job. Liberty does scare me, but I do like Oklahoma State to move on. And I think that's, I guess it would be against the public opinion. What are your thoughts on Oklahoma State?
Yeah, Oklahoma State's a team, if you go back over the last 10 years, no team has lost in the first round as a favorite more than Oklahoma State. They're 0-4 straight up in the first round over the last 10 years when they're favored. So I mean, that's an interesting trend with that program. I want to like Liberty in this game. Mm-hmm. I think Liberty's experience and I think Liberty's defense, the pace of that game will not allow Oklahoma State to get out in transition. But again, you know how a lot. But again, they were a pretty popular upset pick a couple of years ago when they beat Mississippi State. So I would actually still lean towards Liberty in this game. Just because I do think that they can defend and they can slow this game down. So I would lean towards Liberty plus the points here. I agree 100% with you on the other two games that you mentioned. I love Georgia Tech plus the points, and they're plus 130 on the money line as well. So I'm gonna take the Jackets as well. Like who other than Krutwig, like who's gonna score for Georgia Tech? Like, is there anybody else? Not for Georgia Tech, for Loyola. Like is there anybody else on that roster that Tech is gonna be scared of? Like, you've got Alvarado, you've got Wright, you've got DeVoe. Like, Tech has other answers, and yes. I you look at Loyola, and this is kind of the same thing we talked about with Colgate and that net ranking. Like, oh, the metrics say who is Loyola beaten? The Valley was a bad league this year.
They lost to Drake without Hempel,
and they got blown out by Wisconsin. They lost to Richmond. Indiana State was a bad team, and they lost to them. I know you can only beat who's on. Yep. This is why you need to kind of schedule adjust and go down for your ranking. So everybody like up in arms that Loyola's a 9 seed. You got to look at the schedule.
Yeah,
it's great there. Raw efficiency numbers are great, but I don't know. I like Georgia Tech a lot in this game, and I'm with you. I like Oregon State a lot against Tennessee. It's a team that has gotten a better as the year has gone on. They got hot in the Pac-12 tournament. They can defend. They can shoot the threes. We know Tennessee from time to time has trouble scoring. They may not have Fulkerson. We haven't heard for sure. Rick Barnes' teams traditionally have underperformed in the tournament. They don't necessarily get upset by these lower seeds, but when they get a higher seed, they're that one. He's 1-11 against higher seeds. But I think this is a spot for Oregon State plus the points, plus 8 and plus 300 on the money line would be something that I would look at as well. But you and I are seeing the same thing with Georgia Tech and Oklahoma State and Liberty. I might pick Liberty on my bracket just to move a team through, but it would certainly not surprise me if Oklahoma State wound up winning that game and moved on to the 16. I may have made the mistake of undervaluing Oklahoma State all year long because I liked West Virginia in the end of the regular season, and I liked West Virginia in the conference tournament. And there are a couple spots I faded Oklahoma State. I just may not have a good read on them. They're probably just a lot better than I give them credit for.
Yeah, I want to get – and as we move down in that bracket, it's San Diego State's the 6, Syracuse the 11. I'm taking a shot here. I'm going all in with the zone. I have Syracuse going to the Elite Eight. I know it's not popular. I know it's probably going to be wrong. But
why
I
not?
Just
they got to the Elite Eight the last couple of times, right? Elite Eight last two times is double seed, right?
I just think there in a year like this, you talked about, you know, Loyola with all the conference play, San Diego State playing conference games. I think that zone is real, man. They're playing really well. Guerrier is a tremendous offensive rebounder for them. We know what Boeheim's done. Dolje is a really good player who I think could be a mismatch problem for teams. So I have Syracuse beating San Diego State. And I have them beating West Virginia. And I want to say this about West Virginia. I think this is his most capable team since that Final Four run he made. The problem I have with West Virginia, and West Virginia fans know this, is they're probably my favorite fan base in the field because win or lose, they still drink the booze, and I love them for that.
What about LSU?
I like LSU football fans more than their basketball fans. Oh, yeah. No, I know. They're right there. They're right there. But the West Virginia thing is more like, you know, LSU is more a football school. West Virginia, to me, lately has become more of a basketball school. Obviously, with Huggy Bear, we love him. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But they just continuously know how to break your heart in the worst way possible. And this is very simple to me. If they beat Syracuse, I really think they could go to the Final Four. I really do. They are that good. I love the guys they have inside. I love what they have, the ability to score the ball, which is always usually a problem for him. They're not your typical press Virginia team, though. No, they're more talented offensively, and that's why it's puzzling to me because in a circumstance like this, you don't know who's going to show out in a one-game scenario. Now, their opponent, Morehead State, I wanted to just mention them because I watched that. I love the Ohio Valley. I've continuously said all year I thought Belmont should be ranked higher. Morehead State played their best games in their two biggest games they needed to, and that was a semifinal against Eastern Kentucky, and then they dominated Belmont in the final.
Where did those offensive performances come from? That's what
incredible. Now, they turned the ball over a ton over the course of the season, but they scored so easily against those two teams. And I get it. Eastern Kentucky and Belmont are not in the tournament, but Morehead State was really impressive. So I don't know what to expect from them. You have to go back, I would think, on the averages you see, and that's why I like West Virginia to beat Morehead State. But I wouldn't be surprised if Morehead State is a pain in the butt for them.
Yeah, see, I like West Virginia in this game. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be ecstatic that they're not playing Baylor and they're not playing Oklahoma State and they're not playing Texas. I think the fact that they're finally able to get out of this league, and I look at Morehead State, like, they scored 45 points against Kentucky.
Yeah.
They scored 51 against Clemson. They scored 44 against Ohio State. Like, this is what – there's 58 the first time they played Belmont. Like, I think they're going to have a ton of trouble scoring. And I think the fact that Oklahoma State is the fact that West Virginia, rather, has lost a couple of those heartbreaking games. I actually like the Mountaineers minus the 12.5 in this game. I think they get out, and I think they win rather easily.
Okay. I would say between Syracuse in the first round against San Diego State and this next game, the 7-10 Clemson Rutgers. Rutgers is the only lower seed in the tournament favored. I like Rutgers to advance to the Sweet 16 here. And I want to talk, and I definitely want to get your opinions on these games. But I just think Rutgers is a team that probably was in a better spot to advance or have a better tournament last year, but I still think they have the toughness to do things. I love Pyko as a head coach. I used to go to his camp when I was a little kid down at Slammajama, Southern Connecticut State University. What's up? But I look at Rutgers. I think Clemson's a really overseeded team too in this tournament. They faltered down the stretch.
How were they a 7 seed?
I don't know. And
North Carolina was an 8 seed.
Yeah,
I just didn't make sense to me.
Your Canes took it to them in the ACC tournament. That's why you're biased too. That's not a good win.
Yeah, that might have blown up a money line parlay for me.
But then just a thought on Houston for me. I know Cleveland State is the number one team in the luck factor on the KenPom things. So I look at Houston. They're the most fascinating team to me in this tournament because I do not know what to expect. I've seen they're good and it's really good, but I don't think anything of the American Conference this year.
No.
And I've seen them dismantle teams, but I don't think much of those teams. So I really want to see what Houston could do on this stage. I think they run Cleveland State out of the building. And then it's an absolute war against Rutgers because those two teams have no problem bending their knees and getting down and playing defense. What do you think of that bottom of that bracket with the 7-10 and the 2-15?
I have my doubts about Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this team is as good as the one that he had a couple of years ago. I just don't think I'm not sold on either Clemson or Rutgers. I do, obviously. Okay. I know they're going to defend, but again, you're going to look at that and you're probably going to see a shorter number than you would expect in that second round game. But the luck factor for Cleveland State, you know what, the biggest bit of luck that they had was Wright State blowing a 22 point lead in the first round of the conference tournament game, where that way it knocked Wright State out. Probably the biggest bit of luck that Cleveland State had all year. Or else they would have never even got the automatic bid.
But I couldn't agree more. That we were working that night. That was the quarterfinal night of the Horizon. Every game was nuts.
Yep.
And Cleveland State had to go, I think, to 3 overtimes to beat IPFW. So I don't think much of Cleveland State. I love the city of Cleveland. I love it. But I don't think that's another one of my blowouts, or I should say my favorites.
Houston might put a number on them.
Yeah, I think they have a good
team. That's the type of team that they'll they'll beat up on, and it'd be an inflated win, and then they'll play a tougher opponent in the second round, and it'll be tooth and nail. But yeah, I don't have a ton of thoughts on Clemson Rutgers.
Okay.
That was kind of the feel of one of those games that where everyone's kind of dumping on Clemson so much, saying,
yeah,
how are they seated high? That maybe they step up and play. My heart wants to see Rutgers win a tournament.
Yeah.
I think that would be great, because it's been forever since Rutgers has won a tournament game. And in 1991, 290 yeah. different teams have gotten a tournament bid since Rutgers last got one, and 190 teams have won a tournament game since Rutgers last won one. So I want to see the State University of New Jersey win a tournament game to cap off a good year and a highly successful, or a more successful than people thought, football season as well. State University of New Jersey is on the up, both football and basketball.
Yeah, I'm allowed one Sweet 16 pick with my heart, right? And that's Rutgers. But you like West Virginia? Would you take a shot at West Virginia to win this region?
Yes. No, I think we're going to get a West Virginia Illinois Elite Eight game.
Okay.
So that would be how I would look at it. I think West Virginia to reach the Sweet 16 was 118 on DraftKings, which I thought was a little like, that might be something that I'll be interested in. But yeah, I would look at West Virginia to win this region as well. I have West Virginia to win the title at like 28 to 1, I think it is, 29, something low. So I'm hoping I have Illinois.
So you weren't happy to see West Virginia and Illinois in the same bracket?
No, I was, because I think I feel pretty good that I'm going to have a team in the Final Four. And then the other team I have to win it all is on the other side in Florida State. So I feel pretty good about having Illinois and West Virginia with an opportunity to meet in the eight, where one of them can get to the Final Four. And then I will see what happens on the top. But a lot of basketball to be played until then. But I would play West Virginia to reach a Sweet 16, and West Virginia to reach the Final Four. And
what is that, West Virginia to reach the Final Four?
West Virginia, I have the William Hill site right now. I have West Virginia at 12-1 to win the region. I'd run out and bet that right now.
All right. Sounds like we got to get Kazarian on the horn and get that in for us.
How are they 12-1 to win the region? How are they the same price as Loyola to win the region?
Wow. And you might not have to play Illinois. Loyola, you know you have to play Illinois.
West Virginia is the same price as Tennessee, San Diego State, and Loyola to win the region? Who's making those numbers?
I could forget my bracket. I would jump on that with West Virginia.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the East, which I think can be a complete bloodbath. I could see four teams going to the Final Four out of this region way easier than any other region.
Is it because of the injury?
It's part of that. I think Michigan, and this goes back to the credit of the Big Ten teams and how good they are. I think Michigan, obviously with Dickinson in the middle, is a factor. You mentioned the Livers injury. We saw them without Livers, and he's just that guy that puts them over the edge, man. Like, you know, you got to shut somebody down, he'll go guard him. You need a big shot, he could do that. To me, Michigan is vulnerable at the guard position. I still think they could be attacked. You saw Ohio State go at them time after time with that high ball screen, or I should say the pin down screen for Dwayne Washington Jr. And he went to work on those guys in that game, and they had him running all over the place. I'm not sure how well they can be relied on to score consistently, you know, because let's face it, Dickinson's going to get some guys that have some size, you know, that he's going to face in this bracket if they keep advancing. But there's that. Alabama, I saw Stanford beat Alabama this year. I know it was a long time ago, but they still have that. And in their sustainability to play the way they do, I'm not saying they can't do it, but it's really hard for me to see them, you know, ultimately six wins to win a title, but like four is tough, because there's some teams that are going to take them out of their comfort zone that we could get to. But let's start at the top with Michigan. Obviously have them advancing in the first game. But LSU and the Bonnies, this feels like a public play to me.
I was blown away, and I get it.
I was blown away with how good LSU was in that loss to Alabama, blown away at how good they were against Arkansas. I think it's the recency bias thing. I think it's the name. I don't think people got to see St. Bonnie's play a lot this year. They had the COVID stuff early on. And then they played a ton. I don't know if it was the most, but they played, it felt like more games to me late in the year because they were trying to catch up, but I could be totally wrong on that. But I think a lot of Schmidt as a head coach, I think they have the advantage in that department in that 8-9 game against LSU. I would lean Bonnies because of all that's going on with the talk around LSU in that 8-9 game, which is going to be a fantastic game.
Yep. Yeah, I like the guard play from St. Bonaventure as well. I'm with you. I'll be on the Bonnies here, getting the point and a half or so.
Yeah, and I mean, I know teams that won their conference tournament, everyone says they're playing their best ball. St. Bonaventure is playing their best ball. They have all year. We move down to the 5-12, which feels like the tastiest 12 over a 5. I just want to say this. I know Colorado lost to Oregon State. And we talk about Georgetown and how they just get up in you, not afraid to guard you. But Colorado does have McKinley Wright the fourth. And he is, I want to get this right, he's the sixth player to play in the sport that has accumulated 1,800 points, 600 rebounds, 600 assists. That's why I like Colorado in this game, because I trust McKinley Wright to handle that ball pressure at Georgetown. Now, Colorado has been bad away from their home court. I get it. They have 2 wins in 5 decades in the NCAA tournament. But I keep going back to Georgetown, and it's awesome. I love seeing Ewing and cutting the nets down in the garden and all that came with it, okay? This is Georgetown's lowest seed they've ever been, and it's for a reason. It's their first tournament game in 6 years. I like the makeup of Colorado's roster here. And plus, I feel like we're going to get the majority of the bets on Georgetown. I like Colorado to beat Georgetown.
And is Georgetown going to shoot the 3 as well as they? I mean, that was just their – I mean, they probably hadn't – Georgetown probably had not played a game that good or that well, to speak correctly, like probably since like 1995 when Iverson was there. What they played in the or no, I shouldn't say that. No,
the Final Four team.
Yeah, the UConn Georgetown, the Big East championship game was a great game, too. So
they also had an incredible comeback against Hansboro and Carolina in the Elite Eight with Jeff Green and Roy Hibbert.
I'm with you. I like Colorado there, but yeah, just quickly on LSU, not to totally dismiss them. Like I could see LSU is one of those teams where I really like, I hate being involved in those games because like LSU could like go to the Final Four or lose to St. Bonaventure by double digits. Like they're a team. Like I have like teams that I have, like, I like to trust and don't trust. Like I don't trust LSU. I don't trust my ability to handicap LSU well, just because there's so many, is a wide variance in results. Like if they're going to play defense the way they did in the SEC tournament, then they're a team that very easily could beat Michigan and see themselves in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. But then you have those games where shots aren't going and they're giving up points. And so it's not like I don't think LSU is good, but I think say St. Bonaventure is the side that I'm going to back here.
It's, I will say this about LSU. It's amazing to me how they get to all their teams to play the pace they want to play at. And if that means coming a couple of possessions, coming over half court and taking 3-pointers from Dame Lillard range, they do it because they're almost daring you to be like, hey, look at this bad shot. Why don't you come down and take one so we can get you out of your kilter? So it's fascinating to me. It's probably my favorite first round game, that 8-9 there. Florida State. I know as a team, you think the world of, I do too. I think the world of Leonard Hamilton. I know you do too. This is starting to get in scary territory for me. Just looking at the 13 with Isaiah Miller in UNC Greensboro, Wes Miller, obviously has been a head coach that people have talked about because he played at Carolina as an up and comer, could be that big hire if they were to possibly make a run here. Are you worried at all here about Florida State.
Yeah, anytime you've got a team that turns the ball over at the rate that Florida State does, you need to be a little concerned. But I just think they're more athletic here, and I think the size of Florida State will probably give them an edge. But you look at Greensboro, and it certainly would not be a surprise to see them hang around another team that doesn't really have a win over anybody good this year in the Southern Conference is nowhere near as strong as what it had been in the past. So I don't know if I'd want to lay whatever the number is at Florida State, but they should win. Just need to cut down on the turnover, certainly moving forward, because they shoot the ball so well from the perimeter, and they've got the big man inside who can give teams problems. I just love their athleticism. I think teams from these smaller conferences don't necessarily teams that are as athletic and long and can do so many different things during the regular season. And now you run up with them in a one and done. It's just hard for those teams.
I mentioned Isaiah Miller for Greensboro, phenomenal player. I do agree with you that Florida State has enough. They could change guys off on him. They have guys that, you know, can guard, different positions in the backcourt. So I do like, and I like Leonard Hamilton. I know people have their thoughts on him, but go back and look at it. I think the world of him. I really do. And Florida State's one of those four teams I do think can make a run to the Final Four out of this bracket. Let's move down. The sixth is BYU. Villa said it's the most overseeded team in a tournament. I agree with them. We talked about our SEC teams, but
and then we'll prove that about the seeding when they're an underdog against Michigan State or UCLA in that game.
Speaking of, this feels like the biggest public. I mean, Michigan State's going to be the most bet team in the play-in games, right?
Yeah, easily. Okay. And I think you look at what Izzo has done in these close games where they've been favored by 3 points or less or been a pick 'em. It's been 12 times and they've won 9 outright. Michigan State's got the name recognition. UCLA's folded up 10 later in the late in the season. But you're right, everyone's going to be. This is not a game. I mean, if you play UCLA, it's just strictly you're being a total contrarian and you're blind betting against the public. I mean, that's not a reason for me just to bet UCLA. But I would be hesitant about betting Michigan State here because all signs point to the Spartans. But this is not a game that I would want to be involved in.
It feels a lot like to me and how much money was on them in the Big 12 or Big 10. What was that, a quarterfinal or even no, that wasn't even a quarter because that was an 8-9 against Maryland and Maryland beat them again for the second time in like a week, 2 weeks by double digits. So do you like the winner of that 11 match play-in game to beat BYU though?
Yes.
Okay. Me too. The three is Texas. Incredible year.
Talk about another team not on my trust list.
I was just going to get to that. It feels to me that Texas obviously is a team. They play up to their competition. We saw them run through, fortunate. They didn't have to play all the games in the Big 12 tournament and winning it as Kansas had to bow out with the COVID issue. But Texas, to me, it just feels different because their guards feel like they're more dependable than they have been in years past. And the big man Jericho is a man, and he can bounce out of the gym. I love what I see from them. I do have them advancing to the Sweet 16. I have thought about them going to the Final Four. So they're another team it's 10 years since Shaka made the run. Think about how old we're getting. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And it's been a while. It's been a while for Texas too.
Yeah.
Since they last got to the 16, 63 different teams have gotten to the Sweet 16. And then you look at the recent history again, it covers a couple of different coaches, but 9 of the last 10 tournament games have been decided by 8 points or less. 7 have been decided by 5 points or fewer. So they have a tendency to play close games in the tournament. And I kind of lean towards Abilene Christian play. I mean, Colton Cole can play the big 7-footer. Yeah. I mean, we'll see what he can do against Sims on the interior. And they got a bunch of shorter guards that come in off the bench as well. I mean, it's a team that scored 72 against Arkansas, 7-point game against Texas Tech. So they played some decent teams. Didn't win, but at least they've kind of given themselves a little bit of a test to kind of measure themselves. So do I think the 3-14 outright upset is going to happen? No, but I think Abilene Christian plus the 9 is certainly going to be worth a play on my ledger.
I agree with you. And Texas is one of those teams. Everybody saw them win their conference tournament. I think that I'd like to get maybe another point or two out of Abilene Christian there.
And you probably will.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. Like so often, like you get like these numbers move initially on Sunday night and Monday morning, and then what you see on Sunday night, Monday morning again is nothing on it compared to what you see closer. You'll see a lot more moves. Remember, as the tourists start heading into Vegas and betting these games, you're gonna see a lot more money, and the public money might move these numbers a little bit in the direction of the side that you and I might want to bet.
Yeah, and that's actually the last game. That and VCU Oregon are going to be the last games of the first round. Abilene Christian in Texas is Saturday at 9:50 Eastern. So we're going to have to wait a while. So maybe that will go up. Everybody's favorite, 7-10, UConn and the Terps. We reran the last time they played in the tournament on SportsCenter last night to make our hosts really happy. One of the all-time games ever in the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. We were just going through the pros that were in that game, and it's just, you don't get that anymore. It's crazy. It was 19 years ago or 20 years ago. But this is a really interesting matchup. Both teams will get after you defensively. I do lean to the underdog Maryland here because of the competition they played. I know they struggle offensively, but I saw UConn struggle offensively against Creighton. And Book Knight is a guy, I mean, his head coach called him out. He's as talented as anybody in this tournament. But I do like Daryl Morcell to be able to guard him. And I think Maryland does a good job of making you uncomfortable. And UConn's not the most talented offensive team, but they play as hard as anybody. It's a fascinating matchup. UConn's a favorite. What do you think about that 7-10?
I think the winner of this game could get to the 8.
I think these are
two dangerous teams to potentially get make a really, really deep run in the tournament. And I know UConn is like +350 or so to reach the Sweet 16, 325 or so to get to the Sweet 16. That might be something that I might take a look at, because I have my concerns about Alabama. I don't know why. It's nothing to do with like how they play it or how well they're playing now, but you talked about just how hard UConn plays, and while at times offensively they're not good, like they're another one of those teams that you look at the KenPom rating compared to the seeding, and their KenPom ranking is much higher than what their seed is. But with Bo Knight, they're just offensively he can do so many things. And this is a team again with it's got a little bit more depth, and they play defense, and we'll see. But this is a hard game for me to really just bet on itself. But I do think the winner of this game has a very, very good chance against Alabama in the second round of the tournament.
That's a great point about UConn and Maryland. UConn is a deeper team. I don't think there's any question about that. It's a fascinating 7-10. I don't know about the 8, because if Texas could beat, I have them playing Michigan State. I do like Texas's matchup. I have Maryland beating Bama. So I do have Maryland in the Sweet 16. I like Texas's matchup against Maryland, but I don't know if Texas is going to get there. And I don't know if Maryland's going to get there. Like I said, I take a shot with my brackets. But I think Alabama's – they're the second-priced team to come out of the region, because Michigan's only, like, what, plus one?
Yeah, 135 30, or something like that.
And then it goes Bama, I believe.
Then Texas, Florida State, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, all four of those teams, I will not be shocked if either one of those goes to the Final Four, and that's why this is a really interesting bracket or region to me, because – I could see Florida State giving Michigan a lot of problems. I do feel like Florida State, it's tough, man. Like Michigan, Florida State, if they're playing a Sweet 16, I don't even want to get that far ahead because we're going to do a podcast next week. We'll be able to assess the Sweet 16 games.
But Florida State was like, I think they were like
plus 850 to win the region.
Yeah, and minus 118 to reach the Sweet 16. I take my chances with them beating Greensboro and the Colorado Georgetown winner. Minus 118 to win two games to get to the 16. I take my chances with that for the semis.
I'm still bummed. Last year, I would have had Florida State. I really thought they could have won the national championship.
It was their year.
Yeah,
it was their year.
I agree. All right. I asked you, do you see any of the one seeds losing before the Sweet 16? Or let's say, if you had to pick one that won't make it to the Sweet 16, are you going Baylor?
I would say the scary thing is, I could see all of them potentially losing in the second round. Like, I don't think they all will, obviously. I think the least likely team to lose, the least likely one to lose in the second round is Illinois, just because of their opponents. I think the second least likely one to lose in the second round is Gonzaga. Oh. While I like Oklahoma and Missouri, I just Gonzaga's got so many answers. I think the third most likely, the in terms of least, would be Michigan still, just because I think St. Bonaventure is going to win it. I'm not sure the Bonnies can beat Michigan. I think the most likely is Baylor because of what Wisconsin can throw at them defensively. What North Carolina could potentially throw at them offensively. And I'm not sure Baylor is – yeah, they came back from that 17-point deficit against Iowa State, and they played a good game against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament. I'm not sure they're back to where they were pre-COVID break. Like I think that kind of threw a monkey wrench in there.
Huge.
In their routine and their flow and just where it fit the confidence. Like, so I would have, in terms of most likely one seed to lose in the second round, from most to least, Baylor, Michigan, Gonzaga, Illinois.
Okay. All right. What else we got?
By the way, I don't know what type of limits DraftKings is taking on this, or like, going through the stuff last night, there was a prop on there, like, will a 16 seed win a game? And the no was only minus 1,000. Like, I don't know what liquidity people have and like, what, or again, and what DraftKings is going to take on that. But none of these 16s are winning.
No. Nope.
Like that's minus a free
1,000. Lay it.
That's a free $100.
As long as you got 1,000.
Yeah. Exactly.
You just bought a new crib. You're good.
Oh yeah. Oh, I signed my. It's amazing how many sheets of paper there are at closing. It's like, oh yeah, and this one's this, and this one's this. And this. I'm like, all right. But by the time I got to like page like 57, I think I was just literally writing like C as my signature on the sheet.
I'd say it gives me really a lot of appreciation for guys who sign autographs all the time and make it look all the same at the same time. Because my signature is different every time I write it. Shout out to the athletes out there.
Yeah, but ideally we'll have a Comcast came this morning, so we're online, we're good. And as long as PC Richard comes here with my television on Friday morning, we'll be good to go. We'll be up and going with multiple with the new big screen on the first day of the tournament.
We're gonna need PC Richards. Let's make sure you come through, guys. What else? I'm just trying to think of other odds and ends. I got all these notes.
You said ooh, so I'll let you go first.
We know Alabama's been a two seed two times prior.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name the notable person that was a part of each win?
Wimp Sanderson?
Yep. And he got beat by?
Well, they got beat by championship coach Rick Pitino.
Correct. The next one was 0-2, I believe.
And that was Billy Donovan, right?
No, they lost to Kent State. Do you know who was on that Kent State team?
That was Antonio Gates, right?
Correct. Correct. That was, God, I can't believe that was 20 years ago.
It's amazing. it's amazing how long.
Oh, how long ago it was. You got a question about the tournament?
I'm just wondering if Bear is going to leave me alone when I watch my games. Listen, I know I'm obnoxious with my tweets. Can you just let me be, Bear?
No.
Travis, it's very easy. Put your phone down.
I'm better with basketball than football. You have to give me that.
Yeah, much better. And that's why I didn't mind doing it for football, because I know ultimately, like, this is the week that really matters. So. But I'll be on my best behavior with you.
I'll call PC Richards and tell him cancel that cable.
Don't do that. I was going to say, who is the question was going to be, who is the 5 seed or lower that can make a run to the Final Four? You've had a bunch. What is it? I think 5 straight years you've had a five seed in the Final
Four. No 5 seed has ever won the title, I believe.
Right. But you had Auburn reach the Final Four. You had like all over, like there, but a bunch of 5 seeds or worse to reach the Final Four lately. Who's the 5 or worse that keeps that streak intact?
I take Syracuse.
It's not a bad pick. I guess I would say.
I guess
I'd have to go with the UConn Maryland winner.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
I know that's not one team, but that would be my choice. The UConn Maryland winner would be the one most likely, five or worse.
And then my next one would probably be Oregon.
Yep, I would agree. Even though I think Gonzaga is going to be really, really, really hard to beat, but I think Oregon, just because of the run that they would potentially have up to that, those are winnable games.
And just so the people know, I have Syracuse playing Rutgers in the Sweet 16. So just put in West Virginia and Houston. That's what's gonna happen. All right. Anything else before we? Who's your golf pick this week?
I went with Chris Kirk.
Him. I had him last week in a matchup against Ricky Fowler. That was stealing money.
I was gonna say that worked out well.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily have the best track record there, but he's a great story. We're only, what, like 5 or 6 top 50 players in the world there. This is not the week you want to bet on Sung Jae-im to win and Lee Westwood to win and Daniel Berger to win, just because they're the only top. This is a Chris Kirk, Brendan Steele type of week, I think.
It was interesting. I saw a bunch of names. It felt like they don't usually play this tournament. So that's even interesting.
No, the placement on the calendar – coming off with the players, and then you got the match play coming up, and it really has diluted the field in recent years. It used to be a really, really star. Rory used to play here, but yeah, not a lot of big names this week.
All right, very good. I think I'll do it. We'll plan on doing one next week. Good luck to everybody out there. I was glad to fire this bad boy up, and
absolutely
hit us up on Twitter if you got any questions. All right, before Bear takes us away, a reminder, check out the SV pod this week. We had an awesome conversation this week. Awesome pod. Jesse Washington, who helped write John Thompson's autobiography, was on the pod discussing Coach and Patrick Ewing and everything Georgetown. It's really good. Make sure you go out and buy his book. Also, plus, you won't want to miss Here's What I Hate This Week, which really touched heart for me. Bear, take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.